All right. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. Yeah, I'm sure you all noticed I was not here at 7. I took a month or so off from the 7 o'clock, 7 steps teaching for a variety of reasons. I just had different schedule conflicts several weeks in a row. Tonight, I was just returning from a weekend with my brother and his girlfriend and my boyfriend and my daughter in the mountains. And I heard when I came on that you were playing the teachings of Inner Ramana. Yeah, so I just got back. I got back about half an hour before the teaching time, so I probably could have rushed up and taught, but it felt important to rest. So that's what I did. But starting next week, I'll be back on my normal schedule again. So I'll be here at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with 7 Steps to Awakening starting next week. Lynn is saying, can you believe it's been 5 years? No, since Inner Ramana came. No, I cannot, but I guess that's true because it came in 2009 and this is 2014, so I guess that's true. But no, I can't believe it. Yeah, that doesn't seem very possible, does it? As Lynn mentioned, we're here now for our monthly member meeting. And probably the most important business that we have tonight is regarding our current election that we're having. We have 3 seats open on the member board of trustees, and we have 3 nominees, which probably means that all 3 will be elected. But we can't, according to our bylaws, we can't just appoint them. We can't say, okay, there's 3 nominees, so let's put them in the seats. They do have to be elected by the membership. So we need to go through the process of having an election anyway. And according to our bylaws, we also have to provide the opportunity for you all to get to know the people who have been nominated before you cast your vote. And so there's 2 ways that we're providing that opportunity. One is when we sent out the email inviting you to vote, we also included a link to their photos and bios so you could see that. But then also, I've invited them to come to this meeting. Miley was the only one that wasn't sure if she could make it, Jennifer Miley Nahulu. And I don't see her yet. Maybe she will show up before the hour is gone. Like me, she had plans for the holiday weekend, and she just wasn't sure she would be back in time. So if she's not, her bio will suffice for the introduction to the membership. Some people may ask, how come, you know, I nominated someone and that person is not on the ballot? I actually haven't heard anybody ask that, but it is a reasonable question if you have it in your mind. And there's really 3 criteria that people have to meet in order to get onto the ballot. And yes, I am recording this. Thank you. There are really 3 criteria that people need to meet in order to make it onto the ballot. One is they have to be nominated by either 10% of the membership or the member board of trustees can nominate them or the board of directors can nominate them. And so there were some people that were nominated by, you know, a few people, but not 10% of the membership and also not by the member board of trustees and not by the board of directors. And so for that reason, they really weren't nominated. Also, there were some people who were nominated. They actually did meet one of those criteria and they were nominated, but when they were contacted to ask if they accepted the nomination, they turned it down. And so, of course, if a person doesn't want to be on the ballot, they're not going to be on the ballot. There was also one person who was nominated, but then when we double-checked, that person was not a charter member. And you may remember that according to our bylaws, in order to serve on the member board of trustees, you need to either have been a charter member or been a member for 2 years. And since Awakening Together hasn't been around for 2 years yet, it means you had to have been a charter member. And a charter member is someone who joined by October 21 of last year, 2013. So we did have one person who was nominated, but then when we did the double check, that person was not a charter member. So that nomination went away. So when you get through all of the criteria, We really only had three nominees, three people who were nominated by either 10% of the membership, the member board of trustees, or the board of directors, and they accepted the nomination, and they were charter members. We have three seats, so again, I'm sure those three people end up being in those three seats, but we still want to follow all of our processes. I'm very happy to introduce you to those three people. I personally highly support each of them. So I'm very, very happy. I feel like we're definitely going to have a good team. One of the people, you all probably know, many of you probably know, he's kind of a public person in this realm, and that would be Teddy Poppy. So I will start with Teddy Poppy. I'll introduce you to him first. And what I want to do is I just want to read the bio that we have that Teddy shared with us. This is Teddy's bio. In 1986, after a history of substance abuse that led me to heroin and cocaine addiction, I underwent a revelatory experience, which was precipitated by hearing the voice of Jesus ask me for a second time if I was ready to help him save the world. Remembering having heard and rejected the invitation at the age of 19, I realized I could not say no a second time. So upon saying yes, he reminded me I was doing this to myself. At which point I understood God was not punishing me and I could undo what I had done, which to me was all of time-space existence and the need to do it any longer. It was at the point when God revealed himself to me as love, and I immediately saw the basis of my addiction was rejection of Jesus. And upon saying yes, a moment of total forgiveness dawned, and I no longer had a reason to sedate and use drugs or alcohol. The experience lasted for about a month, but changed my life. My history with A Course in Miracles began when Jesus told me I would receive directions, and upon being given ACIM in rehab, I knew it was Jesus and his directions to me. A couple of years after that, with continuing hearing and following of guidance, I met my wife. We were married and eventually met with the members of God's Country Place. Later, after my arrival and becoming administrator, it was relocated and became Endeavor Academy. I had set up centers in Wisconsin, Holland, and Australia, where I taught the course and was quite frankly a cult leader. Yet, through my association with the Academy in Wisconsin and the Miracle Center in Australia, we managed to be sued on two continents and won both, which freed the copyright of ACIM and allows every edition out today to be possible, including the edition I publish under the company of Diamond Clear Vision and give away freely through the 501c3 entitled The Borderland. To this day, between the foundation in Australia I was the founder of and our own here in the U.S., we have given away over 13,000 copies of the Sparkly Edition. I'm also fortunate enough to have been guided to publish The Teachings of Inner Ramana, which was the original title I was guided to publish and begin the company for. Since then, in cooperation with RDA, we have published The Keys to NTI and given away over 1,000 copies freely, which I hope to continue to be able to do as I do with the Sparkly. I have sponsored workshops for RDA and other teachers as well, such as Gary Renard, John Mundy, and with my wife and friends from Boston, we have had the privilege of being the first group at Ken Wapnick's Roscoe Center. I have been asked to begin to present the history of ACIM at the Sacred Space in Santa Barbara, California. I have a degree in psychology from Fairfield University and presently live in Fraser Park, California. So that is Teddy's bio. And what I'm going to do is just kind of chat with Teddy. Again, the purpose of the meeting is just to get to know these people a little bit, if you don't know them already. But also, I want to invite everyone here to ask questions. Now, if you ask them on the board, I may or may not see them. So the best way to ask a question is to raise your hand. But you could also ask on the board, and hopefully I'll see it or someone else will bring it to my attention. Sometimes people point out to me what I've missed, and I appreciate that as well. So, you know, the first thing that kind of jumps out at me, first of all, let me tell you how I met Teddy, if you don't mind. I think that's an interesting story and worth being told. It was in December of a year. I don't remember what year. It was in December of a year, several years ago. And I was here in the Pal Talk room. It was then called ACIM Gather. And there was this guy in the room that had never been in the room before, typing stuff. I have no idea what he was saying. I don't remember. His handle was, what's your handle now? It wasn't the one he's using tonight. It wasn't Teddy 1952, I don't think. I think it was like the THJPR, something like that handle, that nickname. It didn't really make any sense. So I had no idea who this, yeah, the THPJR52. So I had no idea who this person was, of course. And this person is just typing in the room, and I heard clearly within me get to know him. So I texted him, or I IM'd him here, and I can't remember what I said. I don't know if I told him I was supposed to get to know him or what, but I said something, and maybe I just said, I'd like to get to know you. And we set up a phone conversation. And in the very, very first phone conversation, he tells me that he's Teddy Poppy, which really surprised me because I knew his wife, but I had no idea that he existed. I didn't even know she was married. So I knew Vicky Poppy, but I didn't even know a Teddy Poppy existed. So to find out that he was Vicky's wife, Vicky's husband, was a bit of a shock to me because I didn't even know that there was such a person. But then in addition to that, he did go on to tell me that he had been a cult leader and all of that. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, why do I have to get to know this guy? And then I thought, well, obviously I have a judgment against cults. You know, maybe I'm just to let go of that judgment. And so I went ahead and just said, okay, I'll just get to know this guy and let go of that judgment. But the relationship has gone much, much, much further than that. Since the first thing that kind of piqued my interest, other than the fact that you were married to Vicky, was the fact that you were a what you call cult leader. Teddy, why don't we just start with that? Also, I think you know that personally, when I received the guidance to start Awakening Together, one thing that I felt strongly was that this was not to be a cult. So why don't we just talk a little bit about what a cult is and what a cult isn't from your point of view, Teddy? The mic is yours.
Well, do I have sound? First of all, let's see. Yes? Yes, okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for offering me the position. And I'm going to say this because the truth of the matter is I don't really know what a cult is, and I didn't know what a cult was until I found myself in one and leading it. And I also understand that when I use the term cult, it's not necessarily judgmental. It's just sort of like a system. I don't have a judgment against cults. And certainly there was nothing in a sense, what I would say. Actually, the old man used to say we were a forgiveness cult. I mean, we were a cult that taught forgiveness. And the idea is always that sooner or later, the cult becomes the culture, and that was what it was all about, establishing a culture of forgiveness. Now, eventually, when everything centers around one person, and people start to give up the power of decision and begin to go unconscious about the decisions that are being made and are asked to become responsible for decisions that other people are making that they don't have a say in, and when these things begin to affect the way people operate in their life and the freedom that they experience, as well as the separation that it breeds, then I think you have the makings of a cult. I don't necessarily think that a cult has to be negative. It's just another part of a society. It's just the way we work. The Catholic Church is probably the biggest cult in the world. But that's just the way it is. It's not neither negative or positive to me.
Yeah, well, undoubtedly I did have a, oh, I love the way Robbie is saying a culture, a cult, yes. Undoubtedly I did have a judgment against cults, but I do not anymore because I made the decision in talking to you on the phone the first time to let that go, and so I did let that go. But I would say that I agree with you that probably if someone was to ask me what I defined as a cult and why I didn't want to start a cult, it's when the power of decision seems to be taken away from someone. They're kind of told to listen to and do as another person says. And for me, what I maybe value more than anything from this perspective life that we have now as humans is that each one of us has that same inner teacher, that same inner guidance, that same inner authority. And what I would point each one to is their inner authority. And in fact, as a result, as you know and as everyone else knows, we have five core values. And some of those core values are very specific about this, namely core value number one and number two. Let me just read those again. Core value number one. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. And so, again, that emphasizes that each person has their own inner guidance and that we support each one, even if, you know, some people here feel fully focused on the course and they feel no need to look beyond the course. There are other people, like I enjoy looking at many spiritualities that point towards truth and seeing the same truth in all of them and focusing on that which is beyond symbols. But each one is allowed to follow that inner guidance to that experience called awakening without anyone telling them, you know, this is the right path. Our second core value, we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. So again, there's no leader that tells you what is best for you, you know, on your spiritual path. Each one is left to determine that for themselves. So, Teddy. When I first announced Awakening Together, you know, I think there was a little concern on your part. Maybe I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, please feel free to correct me. I don't mind being corrected when I misperceive things. But I think that in the beginning there was a little perception on your part that maybe we were heading towards a cult, which means the power of decision was being taken away from everyone and put into a very small group of people. And right now you're being invited to join that small group of people. So I guess I want to know, after watching Awakening Together unfold for about a year, how do you feel about Awakening Together? How do you feel about the governance and what it does? How do you feel about being invited to serve on the Member Board of Trustees? Turning the mic back over to you.
Well, first of all, what I'm going to say is my decision as to whether it's a cult or not is sort of like I'm sort of, you know, withholding my need to make that judgment yet. And I think one of the problems that many of you had when I spoke about it becoming a cult was the idea that it was a conscious happening and that that you could consciously decide to not let it become a cult, because it doesn't become a cult because anybody wants it to be. It becomes a cult because people make poor decisions and those decisions get reinforced and more power gets put in less and less people's hands because of those decisions, and it does become unconscious. I don't think the master teacher ever set out to be a cult leader. Everybody in the cult wanted him to be that way, so he became that way de facto and began to live that way more and more. Whether or not this is a cult, I'm not really sure yet. The verdict is out. And yet I know that I'm being asked to be part of it so that it has a chance to not go in that direction at all. Because I understand how things happen. And I think more so, I actually find myself, and this is the surprising part to me, I am 100% against establishments in any way. So to become part of one and to be asked to be part of one is actually some sort of healing in my mind, because I would never say yes to be part of an establishment because of the inherent difficulty with exchange and hierarchy that all establishments must have, and the eventual need to maintain the establishment that takes over from the original purpose that it was set out to bring about some sort of a resolution for. So I don't know. I think, I do love you guys, but the fact that Regina asked me, I couldn't say no to Regina for anything. I wouldn't have a reason to say no to Regina. If Regina asked me, the answer would be yes. I don't even know why, other than the fact that I know it's not so much that I love you. It's that I understand that Regina and I are definitely joined in purpose in this world, and the purpose is holy, and the purpose has been given to me and shown from beyond space and time, and has nothing to do with this world whatsoever. And because of the revelatory nature of my mind, I've seen the fulfillment of that purpose and how Regina and I do it together. Now, I don't understand how it all comes about, but the fact that I, at a point in my life when things seemed to be sort of like heading in a direction and fell apart, which really was a new opening, at the very moment Regina stepped in at a time and asked me to do this, and I knew it was an important moment in my life, and I know it was important that I say yes. And I know it's important that Regina and I continue to work together in any way possible. And the more people that work together with Regina and the more people that work together with me, the truth of the matter is the greater the joining that we have the miraculous ability to bring about. And that's what this is all about in the end. In the end, there's no establishment that's going to come with us when this is all over. So right now, there's no establishment that could stand in the way because I've seen the end. So if part of what I'm doing is to help bring about the dissolution of this as an establishment and the non-necessity of it, because the purpose of awakening together is fulfilled, then so be it. I don't need the establishment any longer. I just need us to awaken together.
Thank you, Teddy. And, of course, none of us really know the reason for the establishment. That's the funny part about this. If somebody was to ask me, or I think anybody else, on the board of directors or the member board of trustees, why did you build this Awakening Together establishment or church or assembly, whatever you want to call it, every one of us would have to say, I don't know. We don't have a particular goal that we are trying to achieve. So we're kind of taking it a day at a time and just going with it as it happens. And I'm certain lots of forgiveness opportunities are coming up. I mean, that is certainly one thing that is happening. But none of us really know what's going on here. I did notice something that Teddy wrote above. That was why and how the Academy became more and more cult-like, rather than really learning to go within and hear, which really is our goal here. They began to use questions as reasons for access to the leader or guru. And what I found was the more they did that, the more they both denied themselves access to the voice and make the guru become the focus in spite of his wishes and consciousness of it. And as far as I know, I can say from this year so far, that's definitely not happening here. I don't even lend myself to people asking me questions. I'm not even interested. In fact, people who have asked me for counseling will let you know that I've really let them know that I very, very seldom help. And when I do help, it's only to get someone over a little hump so they can continue on their own. But I see Jay has his hand up, so Jay, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Yeah, I wanted to share a few thoughts, too, very similar to what I heard Teddy sharing. My experience in a spiritual organization, or you could call it a cult, very much centered around the goals of the organization being held up and then people engaging in interactions, in intentions, in manipulative pursuits, Machiavellian and end, justifies the means kind of thing. Which is really inevitably what happens when a goal is put like a physical goal is put in front of the present moment of now and the practicing of love and the practicing of the principles of truth with my every moment of my being and surrender. So I think Teddy stated it really well about some other goal being ultimately becoming more important, which in my experience with the other organization I was a part of, it was definitely a lot of times where I didn't want to do certain things, but I had to because of the goals of the organization. And my performance was measured based on those things, and people were made to look bad in front of others, etc. If they didn't meet these certain goals, they're given public recognitions and sort of carrots and sticks management to all keep the engine of the organization running and etc. And so ultimately I realized all of that, and it ceased to be what I felt aligned with. So I really like the fact that Awakening Together has a sort of growth philosophy that doesn't really have an advertising budget, and we just let the organization itself organically grow through a natural process rather than through trying to force things and trying to set achievement goals and all this kind of stuff, which I think is a big part of how an organization becomes a cult. Because I think Teddy's right. I mean, that's a true statement. No one sets out to be a cult. It evolves in that direction. But I like the guiding principles of the growth philosophy that we have, which I think is a very great key to help guide any group of people to a direction that's very centered in making choices from being guided by spirit rather than making choices guided by an arbitrary external goal. And that's my sharing.
Thank you very much, Jay. So yeah, it sounds like that, you know, Teddy's past experience can be helpful to us to make sure that we don't accidentally go in a direction that we did not ever intend to go in. And that's very helpful. Also, Teddy's experience as a publisher may be helpful. It's possible that we will be doing some in-house publishing in the future. You know, one thing that I've been asked to do by a large number of people is write a study guide to go along with NTI. And so that may happen after I finish writing the Minister Preparation Program, and Teddy may be able to help us figure out how to make that happen. Does anybody have any questions for Teddy before we go on to our next nominee? All right, so thank you very, 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 very much, Teddy, for accepting the nomination. And as he mentioned that I nominated him, and it's true, I am the one who nominated Teddy. I'm sure that he will be voted in, but please vote, because again, according to our bylaws, we need your votes. We cannot just appoint people to the member board of trustees. It has to be your decision. So please vote. And maybe what we'll do, I'm hoping everybody still has the email that we sent out, but I guess if somebody doesn't have that email, kind of let me know. And if we see people are letting me know that they don't have that email anymore, so they can't vote, we'll send it out again. That's the only thing I know to do. We can't put it on our website because only members can vote. We don't want non-members going to the website and voting. So, so it has to be done via the email to the membership. All right. So the next person that I want to introduce to you is Ken Gibson. Now, Ken is a lot quieter than Teddy. So though most of you, if not all of you, may have known Teddy, it's also possible the exact opposite is true with Ken. It's possible that most of you have no idea who Ken is. Ken has been around. He's in the room right now. He's just much quieter than Teddy. Doesn't take the mic often. But Ken is in the Minister Preparation Program. I'm going to start just like I did with Teddy. I'm going to start by reading his bio to you. So this is Ken's bio. Ken's willingness to explore spiritual and metaphysical concepts has taken him on an interesting journey over the past 10 years. He studied and became certified in various healing modalities for both body and mind. Kim was introduced to A Course in Miracles through the reading of The Disappearance of the Universe, which led him to search the internet for similar materials. Subsequently, he found the online recordings of Regina Dawn Akers, which prompted him to attend back-to-back retreats in Colorado. He attended the Miracles in the Mountains retreat and the Silent Retreat in 2012. And there, he experienced a spiritual opening of the heart while listening to Brent Haskell speak. Inspired to be of service, Ken enrolled in Awakening Together's ministerial program. Ken holds an MBA from the University of Laverne, and his work experience has been primarily in financial systems and international contract negotiations. In addition, he has been both church treasurer and financial advisor. Well, I didn't even know these things about Ken. I also nominated Ken. And I nominated Ken. Gosh, I can't even give you anything concrete on why I nominated Ken. I nominated Ken because of the energy I feel from him in the minister program. I feel that he has a very true commitment to service, a very true commitment to the purpose of awakening. I also feel he has a clear head and his feet are on the ground, and I feel he's using everything that comes up in his life to practice forgiveness or letting go or purification. And I just thought he would be a wonderful asset. I knew that he had some background. I thought an engineering background. Maybe I was mistaken there, but I knew that he had a background that that kind of trained him in ways to think that might kind of be helpful, because we do have to problem solve while we're on the member board of trustees. I did not know, however, about his experience with financial systems or contract negotiations or being a church treasurer. And, of course, all of that could be helpful to us. One thing I remember about Ken, when I first met Ken, it was in 2012 when he came to the Miracles of the Mountains and the Silent Retreat. And the way I remember the story, and again, Ken, feel free to correct me if my memory is wrong, because memories can be wrong. But the way that I remember it is that when he was coming to these events, there was a part of him that was not at all excited, especially about the Silent Retreat, because the Silent Retreat was going to be vegetarian, and he was not vegetarian. And then we had restrictions about technology, and I think that he just if I remember correctly, you were nervous, maybe even scared, maybe even frightened to come to the Silent Retreat. I'm going to turn the mic over to you and just let you start there. Start talking about your experience at the Silent Retreat. And if you want to talk about your experience of listening to Brent Haskell, you know, just before the Silent Retreat too, that would be great. So, Ken, the mic is yours.
Well, you're correct, Regina. The thought of a silent retreat that was vegetarian was very scary for me. One, in silence, with no electronics as distraction, I had to spend a lot of time with just me. And that was a very scary thought. And add on top of that, vegetarian, when I'm a devout carnivore, was double. But after hearing Brent, what I perceived as his channeling of Yeshua, the starting of forgiveness started. And it was like he swept away all of the guilt that was on the surface that then allowed me to go deeper. And I had no idea why I wanted to go and especially put myself through that kind of torture. But the guidance was always there and it was very clear. And so that's where I went. The financial advisor and church treasurer came about because I was working in a financial capacity and my church had gotten to the point where they could no longer treat their books as a checkbook or the old version of you had a cigar tin and money went in and money came out and nobody knew where anything went. So they asked me to set up the accounting system, and I did. And unfortunately, the knowledge that I gained of knowing the inner workings of that organization led to my leaving that organization. And based on Teddy's definition of a cult, I realize now that I was basically in a cult, to where the personal goals of the minister became the goals of the church. So, back to you, Regina.
Yeah, well, that's pretty exciting to me. And in fact, I guess if my goal was to, you know, if I did have a conscious goal of being a cult leader, I'd be really screwing up by inviting you and Teddy to be on the member board of trustees, because it sounds like you all have a lot of experience with how that happens, and you'll be able to really help us make sure that happens. That's one of the benefits Jay also brings because of his past experience. And I, to be honest, I am extremely grateful for that. I am grateful to have people watching so closely the inner workings of the organization and helping us kind of keep it as open as we want and keep it. What we really want to do with the Member Board of Trustees is we want to keep the organization following those five core values. That's why they are our five core values. But in addition to that, at a meeting last year, we also developed a financial philosophy and a growth philosophy. And right now, I think I'll just share those with you all. Our financial philosophy is this. The Awakening Together mission and core values guide stewardship of all resources, which must serve the whole over any individual. We acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. In order to aid their decision-making, we commit to transparency regarding our finances. So again, even the way that we spend money has to be in alignment with our core values and has to serve the whole organization rather than serving one person. So I don't think you'll find me as the president minister having the benefit of, you know, having lots of Mercedes or any of those things that we all know have happened in the past. That's not going to happen here. If I do get a hot tub, it's because I'm going to buy it from some friends with my own money. Let's see. Also, our growth philosophy is this: to allow growth through surrender rather than promotion, without attachment to any particular form, outcome, or expression. We welcome friends to the community by being the loving invitation to remember the one true self. And when we say allow growth through surrender, what we mean by that is that we, as the member board of trustees and the board of directors, surrender to guidance, surrender to what is, surrender to what is unfolding. We want to work in harmony with the way the universe is going with this organization, rather than trying to force the organization into a certain direction. So again, we want to allow growth through surrender rather than promotion, and also without attachment to any particular form, which means without attachment to what the organization is supposed to look like. And we also want to welcome friends to the community by ourselves, the Member Board of Trustees and the Board of Directors, being the loving invitation to remember the one true self. So those are our philosophies, and we certainly invite both Ken and Teddy as they join the board to help us make sure that we're doing it the way we intended to do it and that we aren't going off center in some way. let's see. I'm trying to look now at the... Okay, Ken started college as a chemical engineer, so that's where the engineer idea came from. I did not make that up, which is nice to know, but memories make things up. It's really funny how memories do that. yeah, Robbie is saying the core values are based on spiritual principles, I feel. I agree. How many people are needed? This time, three people are needed, and we actually have three nominees. So But you do not need to vote for all three. If you feel that two of them would be good and one isn't, don't vote for that one. Or one would be good and two aren't, don't vote for those two. If you feel all three would be good, vote for all three. So, like I said, we do need the vote. Deb is saying if I did get the Rolls Royce, Jamie might dirty it up. That's true. okay, Chrissy said she was lost. Other questions? I'm not sure what that means. Oh, Christian up above says, I am lost. Christian, do you have a question, or was that your question? How many people are needed? And does anybody have any questions for Ken, by the way? I guess, Ken, I want to ask, and again, okay, wait, Christian has her hand up, so first let me turn it over to Christian. Christian, the mic is yours.
Hi, Regina. Hi, Evan. What are these people doing when they're nominated, Regina? What does it mean to be on the member board of trustees? Thanks. Because then I know how to vote for them, you see? So I've got Teddy, who's a swearer.
A swearer.
And Ken, who's a church finance man and a chemical engineer. Teddy is an excellent elocutor. That's about all I know at the moment. I don't know who the third person is. Thank you.
Yeah, we haven't introduced the third person yet, but we will get to that before the hour is up. Her name is Jennifer Miley Nahulu. I call her Miley. Some people call her Jennifer. Where do we vote? There was an email that went out to everyone last week, but maybe I'll just ask Jay to send that email again after this meeting, because maybe we'll wait a couple days and then send it out again, because probably the meeting is making people more aware, and maybe the email was ignored the first time around. And maybe the next time around, once people are more aware of what's going on, they'll pay attention to the email. Also, I should say, for some reason, I found the email in my spam folder. I went looking for it because I knew, you know, Jay said I sent it. And I thought, I don't see it. And I went looking for it, and I found it, and then I voted. So some of you may need to check your spam folders. But maybe when Jay sends that again, maybe we can send it from a different email address. Last time he sent it from the webmaster. Maybe next time we can send it from the election email. Yeah, Ken's last name is Gibson. Jay says it was also in his spam folder. So, yeah, Jay, we'll send it out again. Let's wait a couple days, but then we'll send it out again from a different email address, from the election email address. No, it was sent from webmaster. Yeah, so that might be why it went into everybody's spam. And so some people may have missed it. That's okay, Jay. You were physically ill at the time. The fact that you got it out at all, I was very impressed considering the fact that you were ill. Let's see. Before I turn it over to you, Deb, let me answer Christian's question because I'll forget if we go too far. But then you're next. Christian asks, what does the Member Board of Trustees do? The Member Board of Trustees literally runs the organization. And so some people may say, well, what do you have to do to run the organization? Well, one thing that we're very busy with is literally writing policies and procedures. So the organization is run consistently according to policies rather than by one person's point of view. So if we didn't have policies, you know, one thing that might happen is questions would just come to Regina as the president minister, and then maybe Regina would make this decision, and everything would be under her control. And that has never been the way we wanted to set this organization up. So what we do on the Member Board of Trustees is we discuss the types of situations that come up and that need to be dealt with. We all together discuss the way we want to do it. We write policies and we approve policies. And then after that, they're actually sent up to the Member Board of Trustees for final approval. One of the policies we recently wrote was a scholarship and benevolence policy, which is still being slightly tweaked. It was held up because my computer was down for 6 weeks. So a lot of things got held up during that process. But the scholarship and benevolence policy talks about how we address requests for scholarships, how we address requests for financial assistance, so that it's always done consistently. Teddy's asking, how many church members are there? It is now 373. That's in less than a year, so we've grown pretty quickly. So that's the primary thing that the member board, in how many states? Maybe Jay knows the answer to that, but it's more than in the states because we have members all around the world. So it's very spread out. Okay, Deb, I think I answered Christian's question. So we don't do fundraising. in fact, I'll get back to that because I have a similar question for Ken. But we don't do fundraising, and I'll go over the financial philosophy again. But first, Deb has been waiting very patiently. Deb, the mic is yours.
Okay. I asked the question on the board, but you didn't see it. It's just a quick question. I voted already, but I only voted for two, and I have changed my mind and would like to vote for all three. May I go back and put in a vote for the one that I did not vote for the first time? That was my question. Thanks. Wait, let me see if I can drop the mic. I'm outside on the porch, and I don't have as good... okay.
Yeah, I was going to turn that over to Jay because, you know, it is kind of technically done. And as you see, he's answered you, nope. But that's okay, Deb. I don't think you have to worry about it. It's just generous in your heart that you want to vote for all three, and that generosity will be sent into the universe. So thank you for supporting all three in your heart, and that's good enough. Teddy says the whole thing could grow and sustain itself without requiring a single donation. Maybe. We have an awful lot of expenses that you can go and check out. But for instance, the recordings that we provide freely for everyone, it does cost money for the servers to store and provide those recordings, for example. The QuickBooks system that we keep track of our finances on, it costs money to have that system. There's just a number of things that cost money. but anything that we can give freely, we do give freely. And that's the way it is. So also we have a scholarship and benevolence committee. In order to give money, we need to have money. So, you know, as far as I know, the radio costs money. Yeah, I can't sit here off the top of my head and rattle off everything that costs money. Lynn and I are both on salaries because we're full time. And if we had to go get other jobs, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. We're not blowing money anywhere. That I can promise you. And we do publish our annual financial report so that you can look at it. And I'm sure when Ken comes on, he'll be looking as well. We also have Raina Avalon, who's a treasurer at the board of directors. She looks as well. We're not blowing money anywhere, but it does cost money just to do these things. These things aren't given to us freely, and so it costs money. But, yeah, we don't do fundraisers. We just do what we do, and we trust the money will come. Yeah, and we don't require donations. You can be a member and never donate. Nobody's keeping track either. Like, oh, so-and-so's never given. We just don't look in that way. You know, so we're trusting, you know, that everything we need will be given. And I'll tell you how far my trust goes. If at some point the donations do quit coming and, you know, the money quits coming and it all folds, that's because it was all supposed to fold at that time. Like I said, we don't want to try and control anything. We want to work in harmony with the universe. And when you work in harmony with the universe or in harmony with God, it provides what you need. And donations is one way it provides what you need. But no one is personally targeted and asked to donate. So I'm sure there are people here that know they haven't... No, they haven't donated. They know we've never called them and asked them to. I don't know who hasn't donated. I don't pay attention. I don't look that closely. So what I was going to do with Ken, I have one more question for Ken, and then we'll move on. But since Ken did some finance work with a church before and wasn't overly impressed with what he saw, I wanted to know how he felt, and an honest answer is appreciated, about our financial philosophy. So, Ken, let me read that financial philosophy to you again. The Awakening Together mission and core values guide stewardship of all resources, which must serve the whole over any individual. We acknowledge all giving comes from the hearts of our members and friends. In order to aid their decision-making, we commit to transparency regarding our finances. So, Ken, I'm just going to turn the mic back over to you for whatever comment is arising.
One of the greatest awakenings I had when I took over being the treasurer of the church was I had this thought, this perception that churches only exist 1 hour a week and could not figure out how they cost that much money to run. And it was a real eye-opener. I also got to see who gave what because I tallied up the offering plate every week. And it was with no judgment as to who gave what. And some people gave nothing and some people gave a lot. But that was always in how you're led. And I do truly understand it costs to run an organization like this. So hopefully I've answered your question. Thank you, Regina.
All right, thank you very much. And let's see, Teddy is saying it's never really the philosophy that is the problem; it's the application of the philosophy in action that presents difficulties. And that is our goal: is to actually live our core values, live our philosophies. I notice Jacqueline has her hand up. Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to. Point out as I did on the board, and I think Teddy was responding to that we had a very long discussion at the meeting of all of the board, the directors and the trustees, in which we determined that we would not have growth as a goal for the organization, so that we didn't run into the problems that Teddy was talking about earlier, in that in making the organization and the maintenance of the organization and the continued existence of the organization a goal, and have that goal supersede what our real goal is, which is awakening together. Mm-hmm. Thanks for letting me have the mic.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jacqueline. So, you know, again, I'm very, very happy to have Teddy and Ken with their backgrounds, you know, join us. And it won't take long for them to realize our heart. In fact, they may already realize our heart. And then if we do start to slip, you know, start to move off in the wrong direction, if they're on the member board of trustees, they will be able to say, hey, wait a minute, this feels like we've forgotten our financial philosophy, or we've forgotten our growth philosophy, or we've forgotten our core value. And that's what we want. Yes, checks and balances. We don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. You know, so, yeah. No one person dictates what we should think, just suggestion on how to think, including Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's really the purpose. In fact, we start each of our member board of trustees. We read from the Tao Te Ching, which was a book written for leaders, a spiritual book written for leaders, leaders of kingdoms specifically. But we read from the Tao Te Ching, and then we contemplate quietly before we begin our meetings. And that's to hopefully keep us on the mark instead of allowing us to slip off the mark. I have also observed that most organizations do not live up to what their original intentions were. I've also served on the board of directors of a church, and I watched what happened there. And, you know, they were very concerned about finances. You know, that ran every discussion. How can we get money? And I was in another organization with the same thing. And I really don't want that to happen. Like I said, I want to stay with this trust that if we are to be, as long as we are to be, the finances will be provided for, the growth will happen. And if we are not to be, you know, if we have served our purpose and we're supposed to, you know, go into disappearance, that those resources will start to go away, the people will start to go away, and it will be very natural, and we don't need to fight for anything. We're just here to serve. So we only have a few minutes left. I don't know if Miley has even made it. The few times I've checked, she was not here, and I don't see her now. Miley, if you are here, put up your hand, because as I'm scanning the room, I'm not seeing you. Oh, no, don't call her. She told me she might not be here. So she was the one that wasn't certain she could make it. You know, this is a holiday weekend, and I think she had plans. And she said, if I get back in time, I'll be there, but I'm not certain. So it's okay that she's not here. We'll leave her be. But let me just, yeah, I will read her bio. That's exactly what I'm going to do, Lynn. So let me read her bio. And I'll talk a little bit about her from my personal experience. And if anybody else on the Member Board of Trustees wants to talk about her from your personal experience, you may. Miley is the one I did not nominate. She was nominated by another person. But to be honest, I was going to nominate her. And when I went to nominate her, she was already nominated. So I just, you know, seconded the nomination. But here's her bio. Jennifer Miley Nahulu is a student and teacher of A Course in Miracles. She was given ACIM in 2009 and studied alone until she began teaching it 2 years later when she found Gather Radio, now Awakening Together Sanctuary. She is also studying various texts in the Minister Preparation Program to become an ordained minister through Awakening Together. She currently works full-time in administration for food brokerage at Acosta, but it is not her passion. Along with work and study, she also works on building a website for EFT coaching. Miley has a science degree, attended Metro for communication graphic design, and is a certified Reiki master. She has contributed some of her graphic design to the Awakening Together website, along with the logo. And it's true, we have a new logo that we'll be sharing with you all soon. Miley designed it. And she also created the banners on our website. When you look and you see the side banners with all of your pictures, some of your pictures, she designed that. Some of her influences include Alan Watts, Byron Katie, Toole, Abraham, Terrence McKenna, and Michael, I don't know how to say this name, Sarion maybe, it's T-S-A, R-I-O-N. Music is her motivation. She was in a band called Violet Star in which she wrote lyrics and sang. She has been able to travel and meet others on the same path, which led her to assist with and complete the 40-day program in the Teachers of God Foundation. Miley was born in Hawaii with her twin brother. By her mother's example, she was inspired to start a 12-step program shortly after she was given ACIM. She has many passions, including electronic music, dancing, painting, science, history, art, quantum mechanics, traveling, and research. The struggles in her life have given her great compassion and a thirst for knowledge. One of her goals is to write a book on special relationships, as her greatest breakthroughs in healing came through them. She also hopes to have the chance to travel the world and meet even more people. Her purpose is to be on the healing path with others as we help guide and remind each other of the truth. Jennifer Miley Nahulu currently resides in Aurora, Colorado. And as I mentioned, I was not the one that nominated her. Someone else beat me to it. But I was going to nominate her. And when I'm touched with Miley not only helped us with the original graphic design of our website, which was really grateful because I'm grateful for that because we have a beautiful website and Miley did a lot of work. But we also invited her to help validate the Minister Preparation Program. There are about 5 people right now who are going through the program as I write it and then commenting on it and helping me to improve it. And Miley is one of those people. She started this program last August, so it's not quite a year yet, but going on a year. And I have really observed her committing herself completely to the MPP program. She contemplates and practices what the program asks you to contemplate and practice. And as far as I can tell, there's a spiritual evolution occurring with her. There's great clarity. There's great depth. And to be honest, I'm just very impressed by her dedication to the program. So this is why I was going to nominate her. Now, someone else did nominate her. I don't know if that person wants to speak at all about why she was nominated. If so, you can put up your hand. We're almost out of time, actually, but hopefully we can just finish this if anybody has anything to say. Lynn, how do you feel about us continuing for just a few moments? Okay, Lynn actually has her hand up. So, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And, yeah, you can put your hand up. It's just me, and David is no longer here doing the original edition with me anymore, so I'm not doing the original edition on Sunday nights. I'll figure out another way and get another partner to do that, so don't worry about the time. But what I want to say about Jennifer Miley Nahulu, she really is, she's my partner in crime. We travel together a lot. It seems like the Holy Spirit just makes it happen that whoa, cool. Okay, thank you. That's perfect, Jacqueline. Whoa. Jacqueline just said that she would do the original edition with me. That's wonderful. Well, we won't start this week, though, unless you feel like it. But anyway, she has been, to me, she is just such a wonderful friend. She is such an honest person. She is so vivacious and lively and just full of joy. And but she also has she seems like kind of, this is maybe not going to sound so good, she seems kind of dingy when you talk to her because it's just the way she expresses herself. But she is really very focused, and she has a very clear mind, and I mean, she, yeah, and an artist's heart, absolutely, and she's far from dingy. You guys are funny. Yeah, she's very far from dingy. I mean, she may seem like it when you see her, you know, out having fun on her Facebook page and that kind of stuff. That's just part of her joyful personality. And she is powerfully clear. Yeah, I just went last weekend to the Sonic Bloom Festival with her and Devin and Sandy Ruiz. And I'm telling you what, we had the most amazing conversations and the most amazing time. So I definitely vote for Jennifer. And I'll give you back the mic, Regina. And Jay, if you want to say something, please, like I said, take your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Barb's comment, you know, many of us live in Colorado. And, yeah, there's certainly some people here in Colorado, but we also have, Jacqueline and Tom are on the Member Board of Trustees. They live in Colorado, but they are moving to Indiana. Jay is in Chicago. We have two Member Board Trustees, people from Ardmore, Oklahoma. So we're spread out a little bit. We don't have anybody from the Pacific time zone yet, but Teddy and Ken will be in that time zone. So, Jay, I see your mic is up. Your hand is up. I'm turning the mic over to you.
Hey, yeah, I was just the mic because I didn't realize that David and Lynn weren't doing this the original edition anymore. But it sounds like Jackie is stepping up. But yeah, I actually nominated Miley. I just thought that she'd be great, and I just nominated her. I think the world of Miley. I talked to her on the phone fairly frequently. I'd love to travel and hang out with her and all of y'all sometime, just on a retreat or get-together. I'm actually looking forward to creating stuff like that on a more regular basis. but being in the class with Miley, I was actually very impressed with her level of clarity and ability to hear the Holy Spirit and to get honest with herself and to allow correction to occur in her mind. Very impressed. Repeatedly, she demonstrates an incredible willingness to let herself be shown the truth. And when she writes her answers to the questions in the MPP class, it's almost as if they're so eloquent and so beautiful, it's almost like they're from a holy book or something sometimes. And she's not trying to do that. It just flows through her. And I think that that happens with all of us when we really listen to the Spirit. It's that, that beauty just comes through. And so I've really come to think the world of Miley, and I'm, like Regina, very impressed with her, and I'm quite inspired by the answers she gives and the clarity she has, and I enjoy her vivacious personality. And as Lynn said, it may seem dingy, but it's really not. That's just her manner of expression. And don't let that confuse you or throw you off a bit. She is a very, very mighty companion. So looking forward to working with her.
Thank you very much, Jay. And yeah, Deb, I see you're asking if there was something, you know, not quite appropriate about your question, but your question was great, Deb. I think it's a good question. I think it's helpful, actually, because now people know they really do only get one chance to vote. And so before they vote, they want to contemplate it. That helped. But also it helped us see that in your heart, you know, based on what you're hearing now about the three nominees, that you really support all three of them. And that was wonderful to hear. So I think, you know, everything is happening exactly the way it is supposed to happen. Maybe if there was anything to be let go of, it would be that self-judgment that showed up in the mind afterwards. It's not needed because everything is perfect. Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. I also kind of wanted to go talk just a little bit about what it is that the member board does, because I think it seems like a very kind of a vague thing that, we do financial stuff and we make policies, and what does that mean? A lot of the work, yeah, it is, yeah, I knew it was vague to you. I wasn't going to mention any names, but... but I know it's vague to a lot of other people, too. A lot of the work that we have to do to make this organization work, the board of directors doesn't work nearly as much, I don't think, as we do. Because, we spend time, like I have the committee, I have my admins. And, you know, I'm always busy training and fostering and working with people who are admins or who are going to become admins. And I also have a admin subcommittee that is here to kind of help. Like, we went through the original document that was the speaker's policy and sanctuary policy. We went through that and from our experience as being admins, we're able to look through that and figure out better ways to do some of the things that we do. And then of course, we revised the documents, and then the member board then goes through the documents and maybe tweaks and revises and whatever, and gets these policies and these procedures ready to give to the board of directors for approval. We don't even approve our own policies. And if we come up with something and the board of directors questions it or doesn't like the way that it's written or something like that, then we have to take it back and go through again and try to find a better way to do it. So it's not, we're not just sitting around saying, oh, whoopee ding, we're on the board. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work that goes on. And so, for instance, I also have a not as active as it should be committee for basically communicating our events. So that whenever we're having, like we're having the event in Santa Barbara in September, you know, how do we let people know that that's what's going on? And, there's work that needs to be done to make that happen. And, maybe we need to, make up flyers and send them to the health food stores in the Santa Barbara area and have them put them up so that people will know about our event and want to come to it. There's all kinds of work. Is not what I'm saying, that needs to be done here. And Regina is like extremely busy doing the ministerial preparation program. Jay is extremely busy making sure that our website is up and running, and there are all the, you know, the bells and whistles that, you know, people like and need to have on a website. You know, every single one of us has a job to do, and I'm not going to go through everybody's job. Every single one of us has a job to do. And so it's not, you know, it's not such a, it's not a glamorous thing by any means. And it's, I'm hoping I'm not making people change their minds about wanting to be on the board, but there is a lot of work that goes with it. And, you know, everybody that's on the board right now, I think, is very dedicated to making sure that the work does get done and it gets done well. And so that's exactly what we're expecting from anywhere else. Yes, we have committees. And like I said, I have the committee for the admins, and I also have a committee for communicating our events. Jay has the scholarship committee, and Jacqueline has the benevolence committee. I think that's yours, isn't it, Jacqueline? Yeah, you know, maybe some people could talk about the committees and the work that we're doing. And it's really, you know, it's recruiting people from the organization to help us out with the work that we're doing with the organization. And as we expand and grow, and as things become more and more complex in, you know, what we're doing, you know, we're going to need people and bodies who are willing to, put a couple hours in a week or more to get things done. And, yeah, Jacqueline needs Benevolence Committee members. I'm going to let the mic go and quit gabbing and let folks finish up the meeting. But anyway, just so you know, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, people clearly do not know, you know, how much work goes into running this organization. And why should they? You know, the work is invisible to the members, except for the members that choose to get involved. And that's wonderful. The Benevolence Committee, Lynn, is a committee that Jacqueline will just starting to put together. In fact, it really hasn't started yet. She just hasn't had the opportunity to put the committee together yet. But that's when people either ask for temporary financial assistance, or we could possibly choose to give money like to an orphanage or something like that. But the Benevolence Committee is about giving, giving to members or possibly to other organizations. So that's the Benevolence Committee. And that committee is still forming, and that policy is still being tweaked. So I can't say a whole lot about it yet, but that's it. And I don't know if Jacqueline, if there's anything you want to say about it, because it's your committee. If so, put up your hand. I'll turn it over. And Jay, of course, is leading the scholarship committee, which is for people who apply for scholarships to Awaken Together events. And in fact, just recently he and the scholarship committee awarded some scholarships, I believe, or we'll be announcing those awards to the awardees very soon. Maybe our first meeting in August we'll get something together a little bit formally so that we can come and talk about the committees that still need help. I also lead a committee. It's an event planning committee. We haven't met yet, because we're still making the events that are planned move forward. We aren't prepared to start planning new ones yet, but I do have an event planning committee. There's a featured talks committee, yes, that Nikki leads, which listens to talks that are recorded within the sanctuary and chooses the ones that are to be posted on the website because we can't post them all. So tell you what we'll do in August is we'll come back with something more prepared to talk about the committees in a more formal and thought out way and talk about where we still need help on the committees. And so anyone who's interested in serving on a subcommittee, please come either the first Sunday in August, which I believe will be August 3rd, or listen to the recording of that meeting. And I'll make sure that we talk about the committees more then. for now, does anybody have any more questions about voting for our three nominees? Again, the three nominees are Teddy Poppy, Ken Gibson, and Jennifer Miley Nahulu. I will talk to Jay tomorrow. In fact, tomorrow we have a member board trustee meeting, so I'll talk to Jay tomorrow, and we'll arrange to resend out the email that allows you to vote, and we'll send it out from a different email address. So hopefully this time it won't go to spam. And you can vote anytime between now and July 21st. There were no other nominees who accepted the nomination. There were some other nominees. I think we had six or seven nominees, but the others did not accept the nomination. So these were the three who accepted it. Yeah. And we went through a nomination process in June. Yeah, exactly. So, yes. Any other questions before I close? Okay, I will be back in 45 minutes then to join with you all as we look at today's contemplation from Kirtana. Between now and then, I will work on posting the member meeting and posting this morning's Sunday gathering. So I'll see you all in 45 minutes. Take care and great love.